Welcome to the SearchSystemsChannel.com podcast. This is Nicole Harding, Assistant Site Editor. Today's guest is expert Ross Mistry, a partner and principal consultant at Convergent Computing. Ross will answer some frequently asked questions about high availability services. What are the main differences between failover clustering and database mirroring?
Well, failover clustering protects the whole instance of SQL Server, whereas database mirroring protects one or more databases. If using failover clustering, the SQL Server instances and all associated elements such as databases, jobs, policies, security logins are protected. In addition, components such as SQL Server analysis services, full text search, and replication are also protected as they are cluster aware. Now, with database mirroring, it's ultimately configured at the database level. So unlike failover clustering, which protects the whole instance, mirroring only protects the database by maintaining a hot or warm standby. There are some challenges with regards to database mirroring. If you do configure database mirroring, you must ensure that all items associated with the database, such as jobs and logins that reside on the principal system or the principal server, are also on the mirror server. Now, from a hardware perspective, ultimately, failover clustering requires dedicated hardware, which is blessed by Microsoft. It also requires shared storage, therefore you can configure a cluster from a Windows perspective. Now, database mirroring does not have these same hardware requirements. Therefore, all you need to do is ensure that server A and server B, or the principal server and the mirror server, have the same form of hardware specs. Therefore, they can manage the workload in a failover event. Some other items to take note of. Failover clustering uses a virtual SQL Server name between all nodes within the cluster, whereas database mirroring doesn't. Hence, if a failover transpires in a cluster, it's ultimately seamless to the client or the application. When using database mirroring, the connection string for the principal mirror servers must be hard-coded, as a failover is not transparent to the client or application, and the client will have to understand that the principal server is no longer available and it must connect to the mirror server. Finally, many organizations also use database mirroring as a disaster recovery solution, as the mirrored server can be placed in another data center that is not in the same location as the principal server.
Should solutions providers use log shipping or database mirroring to offer customers high availability?
It really all depends on what you're trying to achieve. So both log shipping and database mirroring technologies operate at the database level. Log shipping can be used to maintain one or more warm standby databases. The secondary server or servers associated with log shipping can reside in the same data center as the primary database server, or it can reside in another site for disaster recovery purposes. Log shipping functions by shipping the transaction log from the primary server to the standby server on an incremental basis. Unlike database mirroring, failover is manual, and transaction integrity between the two systems cannot necessarily be guaranteed. With regards to database mirroring, ultimately database mirroring increases database availability by maintaining a single standby database, which is known as the mirror. The mappings between the principal databases and the mirrored databases is a one-to-one relationship, whereas log shipping, as mentioned earlier, provides you with a one-to-many relationship. Unlike log shipping, only one principal and one mirror can exist for each database mirroring session. Now, one other comment with regards to database mirroring, instant database failover can be achieved by using the synchronous mode with high safety enabled. This mode also guarantees transactional consistency between the principal and mirror. Therefore, if a transaction is written to the principal, it is ultimately committed at the principal, committed at the mirror, and then acknowledged back to the client or the application. Therefore, it gives a higher level of transaction integrity compared to log shipping. And one final note, with regards to SQL Server 2008, database mirroring utilizes a form of compression between two servers. Therefore, if you have server A in a data center such as San Francisco, and server B in a data center residing in New York, the compression of the log shipping transaction assists in performance enhancements between the two systems.
Which high availability technologies are best to satisfy customers' requirements with disaster recovery?
So at this point, I would say that there's three technologies which allow an organization to achieve disaster recovery with SQL Server 2008. The first one would be geo-clustering. The second one would be database mirroring, and the third one would most likely be log shipping. Now, with regards to geo-clustering, unfortunately, geo-clustering is not supported out of the box with SQL Server 2008. Therefore, you need to have a SAN and introduce a third-party tool which will allow you to replicate the SAN data from source to target data center. With regards to database mirroring is another technology which is native to SQL 2008. You don't require third-party tools, or you do not require an additional investment on a SAN or SAN replicators. So ultimately, we can configure database mirroring and place database mirroring the principal server in a data center such as Foster City, and we can place the mirror in a data center such as New York. Therefore, you can achieve disaster recovery natively with the database mirroring technology. Similar to database mirroring, log shipping can also be used as a disaster recovery tool. And log shipping would be in a scenario where you place the principal or the primary server associated with log shipping in data center A, and then you place the log shipping secondary in data center B. With regards to the differences between database mirroring and log shipping, similar to what we stated earlier, log shipping will allow you to send transactions on an incremental basis, whereas database mirroring is ultimately real-time and allows you to automatically fail over from source data center to target data center. You should understand, how much money are you willing to spend? Do you want to take the additional investment and utilize geoclustering and purchase a SAN? If a SAN is not needed, then ultimately database mirroring or log shipping can achieve those same goals.
If consolidating, when should solutions providers implement more than one SQL Server instance?
If I'm going to consolidate many instances or many databases onto a single instance, onto a failover cluster, one must understand there's specific reasons or justifications to add more than one instance onto that failover cluster. So one of the first items is the tempdb database. So there's only one tempdb database per SQL Server instance. Therefore, if you're packing on a lot of databases and you have a tremendous amount of temporary workload, then ultimately the tempdb database could be a single point of contention and cause performance degradation for the whole instance and all the databases associated with that. Hence, it might be beneficial to add an additional instance to that failover cluster. Another item would be regulatory compliances. Now, regulatory compliances such as HIPAA, Sarbanes-Oxley, they might state that a specific database cannot reside in the same instance with other databases and that their management capabilities must be based on a dedicated set of administrators. For example, let's say, for instance, we are managing a database which has HR transactions or it has credit card transactions. Most likely, those specific databases will have a different set of administrator requirements. Therefore, a dedicated set of individuals should manage these servers, and other individuals should not be able to have access to these servers. Again, this would be a situation when you would have one specific administrator manage it, and you would place these databases onto a dedicated instance. Another area where we could look at is global settings. So there's many times where there's different global settings within a SQL Server instance that needs to be configured. And if you want to maintain separate database global settings, such as authentication modes, audit standards, server correlation settings, then that cannot be achieved on a single instance. Therefore, you'd have to implement additional instances, and then for each instance, state what the global settings should be.
Ross Mistry, partner and principal consultant at Convergent Computing, thanks for your time. And thanks for listening to this FAQ podcast from SearchSystemsChannel.com.